Huckabee went over something about some political speech or something, and so he took 25 minutes of her show there. But boy, she really, really brings out the facts concerning Washington and their deceitfulness there. Well, glory to God, let's grab our Bibles this morning, and we'll get right to our message today. And open up to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. This was not the message I intended to preach today, but the Lord switched things up a little bit last night. So, 1 Chronicles chapter 16. The scripture takes us back in time here. 3,045 years, actually. It's 1,042 B.C. David is king over all Israel, undivided monarchy. His desire is to build a temple in Jerusalem and to place the Ark of the Covenant within it, as he was instructed. So he sets up a tent, a tabernacle, to temporarily house the Ark. When they brought up the Ark, David spake the words of this song. We find it here in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. But before we read, I want you to realize something here. In chapter 15 of 1 Chronicles, David finds that the Ark of the Covenant is in the house of a man named Obed-Edom. And that's not where it's supposed to be. Obed-Edom was blessed because of the presence of God, and it was there for a number of years. And David said, wait a minute. The book of the law says that the place where the Ark is supposed to be is in Jerusalem. Which is correct. So David takes his men and they go down to the house of Obed-Edom and they take the ark up and they bring it to where it's supposed to be in the city of David. Verse 29 says, as it came to pass, as the ark of the covenant of the Lord came to the city of David. We know that's Jerusalem. That Michael, the daughter of Saul, looking out the window, saw King David dancing and playing, and she despised him in her heart. David was rejoicing. Because the ark of God had come to its rightful place. And things couldn't be right here in chapter 16 until, in chapter 15, until that ark was where it was supposed to be. I want to speak to you today a message that I've entitled, When Things Are the Way They Ought to Be. When Things Are the Way They Ought to Be. Look with me, 1 Chronicles chapter 16. So they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it. And they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. And when David had made an end of offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And he dealt to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to everyone, a loaf of bread and a good piece of fish and a flagon of wine. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and to praise the Lord God of Israel. And he names them. In verse 7, then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds amongst the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Israel, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Be ye mindful always of his covenant, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, even of the covenant which he made with Abraham, and of his oath unto Isaac, and have confirmed the same to Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when ye were but few, even a few, and strangers in it. And when they went from nation to nation, and from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Show forth it from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory amongst the heathen, his marvelous works amongst all nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Bear before him all the earth. The world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. And let men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice, and all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the wood sing out at the presence of the Lord, because he cometh to judge the earth. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And say ye, save us, O God, of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name, and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, forever and ever. And all the people said, Amen, and praised the Lord. Glory to God. I want to speak to you this morning, beloved, briefly, on when things are the way they ought to be. Heavenly Father, how we thank you for this passage of Holy Writ. Father, thank you for David the king, a man after God's own heart. Lord, thank you that he knew that Israel could never be right before you until that ark, that presence of the living God, was where it was supposed to be, appointed to be. And Lord, he went down, the host of Obed-Edom, and he brought up the Ark of the Covenant, and he placed it in that tabernacle prior to the building of the Solomon's temple, Lord. And Lord, things were the way they ought to be once he did. And he rejoiced in the psalm of praise and thanksgiving. And Lord, from this psalm, I see a number of truths that we can take this morning and apply to our lives concerning when things are the way they ought to be. Lord, help us to learn by your Holy Spirit from David's writing here. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Beloved, David was a king. And he realized that things could never be the way they ought to be for Israel until the temple worship, which was ordained of God through Moses, was established in the place that God had chosen, that is Jerusalem. This psalm appears not once, but twice in the Bible. This is the same as Psalm 105. The ark had been in exile for 100 years because of the sins of Eli, the priest, sons, Hophni, and Phinehas. Remember, the Philistines took that ark. But now the ark is in its proper place, and things are the way they ought to be, because God is in his proper place and being honored by his people. Let me give you some things this morning, folks, that this song teaches us concerning when things are the way they ought to be. First, when things are the way they ought to be, it shows us what we will be seeking. Look with me in verse number 10. 1 Chronicles 16, look at verse number 10. When things are the way they ought to be, this psalm shows us what we will be seeking. Verse 10, we read, Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. I love it. This is the telling difference between the Lord's people and the devil's crowd. Listen. We seek the Lord and the things of the Lord, while the world seeks the things of the world and the things of the enemy. I see three ways that we need to seek the Lord from our text here. First, we need to seek the Lord for salvation. Look at verse 10. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Now, our hearts rejoice because we have sought him for salvation and found him faithful, amen? He has saved us, and we rejoice in that salvation. But secondly, we must seek his strength for service. Look at verse 11. Seek the Lord and his strength. Oh, me, oh my. We recognize that apart from God's power and strength and grace, we can do nothing. Without the Lord, we're done. Without the Lord, we can't even breathe. Do you realize that? But we need to seek his strength. And we need to seek his strength so that we can serve him once we're saved. Glory to God. There's a third way we need to seek him. We need to seek his fellowship for peace in our lives. Look at verse 11. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Continually. David says, don't turn your back on God. Go to God. Don't turn away from God. Go to His face. I love that. Seek His face continually. When you're seeking someone's face, you're looking right at them. Amen. You're saying, you know?
That's how it puts on your face. The Lord knows that's how it puts.
Hey, we need to seek His face. You know what that brings? Peace. It brings such a peace within when we're seeking Him. Listen now, when things are the way they ought to be, David says, here's what we'll be seeking. We'll be seeking the Lord and His strength. When Elizabeth Smart disappeared in 2002, that blonde girl, she was only, I don't know, 12 years old, something, 13 years old maybe. There was a whole bunch of volunteers desperately seeking for her because it was important. And she was found like 10 months later. When Lacey Peterson vanished, pregnant Lacey Peterson, by the way, there were all kinds of people searching for her. But I wonder why it is that so few seek the Lord with that kind of determination today. We need to seek Him, amen? We need to seek Him. I love how Solomon put it in Proverbs chapter 2. He says, you know, it's like seeking the Lord. And he says, if you seek Him with your whole heart, you'll find Him as a hidden treasure. Amen. We need to seek the Lord. And I love that last word in verse 11. Continually. Continually. It's when we stop seeking that we get in trouble, right? We need to seek Him continually. It brings such a peace and joy within. Glory to God. But something else about when things are the way they ought to be. Secondly, when things are the way they ought to be, it shows us what we will be singing. Look with me in verse number 9. Verse number 9 says, sing unto Him. Sing psalms unto Him. Talking of all His wondrous works. We're not singing the blues. We're not singing this crazy rap music today. But we're singing and marching according to the beat of a different drum. We're singing the songs of the Lord. We're singing the songs of Zion, the city of our great God and King. Amen. Three ways we need to sing to the Lord. First, notice the object of our song in verse number 9. Sing unto Him. Oh, I love that. We are not singing. Listen, we're not singing for the camera. We're not singing to get noticed in the choir, if we have one. We're not singing to impress the person next to us, but we're singing to the object of our praise. It's Him. Amen. We're singing to Him. Secondly, notice the content of our song. Verse 9. Sing unto Him. Sing psalms unto Him. Oh, I love that. Sing psalms, David says, unto the King. Why? Somebody tell me. What are the psalms? The psalms are God's word. Amen? And when we sing, you notice a lot of these old hymns of the faith, they have scripture. And they're prayers. And they're scriptural songs. Glory to God. You know what the book of Psalms was? It was the Jews' hymn book. It was their hymn book. They sang the Psalms. Glory to God. I got a couple CDs at home that Karen gave me. And they're scripture songs. Called scripture songs. I'm gonna make them up. And we'll have sets of scripture. All scripture we're going to be singing. Glory to God. The content of our song. The word of God. Thirdly, notice the boundaries of our song. Look at verse 23. Verse 23. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. I love that. Oh, there's no boundaries to it. It's universal. It's universal praise and worship of the King. All the earth. Well, do you realize this morning that there are churches all over the world right now singing and worshiping our great King? It's not just us. Yes, we're in the minority today because the majority are going on that broad road that leads to destruction. But we are not alone. There's a whole bunch of us singing and worshiping the Lord. Oh, when things are the way they ought to be, we'll be singing to Him. Glory to God. But something else, thirdly, quickly. It shows us when things are the way they ought to be. It shows us what we will be giving. Look at verse number 8. Oh, I know we get to that. Verse number 8. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds amongst the people. Brethren, listen. See here that a relationship with God does not only involve receiving, but it also must include giving. And what is it that we can give to God? Think with me. You've heard the expression, what can you get for someone who already has everything? Nothing. You don't know what to get that person, right? God has everything already, so what do we give to God? I see three things we can give to God. First, we can give thanks to the Lord. Verse 8 says, give thanks unto the Lord. glory to God, call upon his name. Paul said, but this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, that in everything giving thanks to the Father. In everything giving thanks. It's hard to do, isn't it? I know, by experience, it's hard to give the Lord thanks for everything, but it's his will. We need to give thanks to God. Secondly, we can give glory to God, to his name. Look at verse 28. Verse 28 says, give unto the Lord, oh, there's that word again, give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Listen, David says, we must give God all the glory for anything and everything that gets accomplished in our lives. Amen? We can take no credit for anything that gets accomplished in our lives. It's all because of God. Give glory to his name. In other words, give him all the glory. Give him all the glory. Thirdly, he says we can give offerings to the Lord. Verse 29, give unto the Lord. I love this. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. There's that again. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Yes, we can give an offering. Tithing is scriptural. Let me ask you a question. Is it our duty or is it our privilege to give offerings to the Lord? It's a privilege. You don't have to give to God. It's not. We're under grace, right? We don't have to give a penny to God. It's our privilege to give to the Lord and to his work. I remember when I was 5 years old. We lived in Chelsea, Mass. I don't know if Ellie remember this. I don't know if she was aware of it. But I was 5 years old, and we lived on a street called Essex. I think it was Essex Street. Quigley Park and all that. And it was Easter, let's call it, Resurrection Sunday. But I remember going to my piggy bank, and I cracked open that piggy bank, and I had all this change, pennies and a few nickels and dimes. And I took all that, and I stuffed it in my pockets, and I walked down to the drugstore. It was about 3 blocks. It seemed like a mile to me because I was a little boy. But those days, little kids could walk around. You know, could walk around, and it wasn't dangerous like it is today. And I walked down all the way to the drugstore. And I went in the drugstore and I got the biggest Easter basket I could find, full of candy and all this stuff, you know, for my mom and dad. And I put all my money on the counter. The guy was laughing, you know. And I said, I want this one. And he said, son, you don't have quite enough money there. But he said, oh my God, take it. It's a kinder, you know. So I took it home and I gave it to my mom. And I said, Mommy, this is for you, for Easter. Right? And she's like, Mommy, where'd you get that? I said, I bought it for you. I love you. For you and Dad. Right? And my dad came home from work. And what he did was, did I cry? I cried like a baby. He took me down, he drove me down to the drugstore. And he said, you know, he got it for us, but we don't get candy or anything like that. And he made the guy give me my money back. And, oh, I cried all the way home. You know why? I loved my mom and dad so much, I wanted to do something special for them. I wanted to give them this to show them my love for them. And I'll never forget that. I was only 5 years old, but I remember to this day. I don't know if Ellie can remember that. But this is how it is with the Lord. You just love him so much that you want to go out of your way to do something special for him, to show him how much you love him. Glory to God. But that's not all. Something else. Fourthly this morning, when things are the way they ought to be, it shows us what we will be remembering. Look at verse 12. What we'll be remembering. Verse 12, we read, remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders in the judgments of his mouth. O you seed of Israel, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Be ye mindful of always of his covenant, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. Glory to God. What confidence we find when we simply look back and remember all of the great things that God has done for us in our lives. David tells the people to remember, verse 12. Remember his marvelous works, everything that he hath done, his wonders, his judgments, O you seed of Israel. Three things they and we must remember concerning our God. First, we must remember his mighty works. Verse 12. Remember his marvelous works. Glory to God. David says, do you remember how God delivered us out of Egypt from the Egyptians, from the hand of Pharaoh? Remember how he opened the Red Sea and brought us through on dry ground? Don't you remember how he fed us for 40 years and kept us alive in the wilderness, wandering around till we got to Jordan? Remember how he defeated the Canaanites and the Philistines and all our enemies before our eyes? Remember all that God has done for us? Folks, we need to remember everything that God has done for us. Secondly, we must remember his judgments. Look at verse 12. Verse 12. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth, O ye seed of Israel, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Judgments. Judgments. You know, sometimes the Lord just, like that Gaddafi punk over there, and Saddam Hussein and Osama bin Laden. Sometimes the Lord just renders judgment on these guys ahead of time and just snuffs them out. God is a God of judgment. Amen? And God is not to be played with. Thirdly, we must remember his covenant. I like this. Look at verse 15. Be mindful always of his covenant, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, even of the covenant which he made with Abraham, and of his oath unto Isaac, and have confirmed the same to Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. Listen, God made a promise to the children of Israel. He said, I got a special place for you. I've reserved it. I got your name on it. Nobody else can have it because I've given it to you. Now listen, beloved. God had promised us a land. God had promised us an inheritance. Everlasting, that shall not pass away, that fadeth not away, incorruptible, undefiled, and eternal. It's in heaven above. I'm so glad that God keeps his word because of his covenant. God is a covenant-keeping God. Walter Baxendale wrote in his autobiography, I was turning over a volume of valuable autographs when I came across the bold, manly signature of my old friend for many years, D.L. Moody. Underneath, I noticed his favorite text written out, which he always claimed in an emergency. The verse was Isaiah 42:7, which reads, For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. You know, D.L. Moody remembered everything God had done for him, and he knew he had confidence today that God will keep me like he's always kept me. Glory to God. When things are the way they ought to be, it shows us what we will be remembering. But fifthly, we've seen that when things are the way they ought to be, what we will be seeking. We've seen what we will be singing. We've seen what we will be giving. We've seen what we'll be remembering. But one last thing, David says, he shows us what we will be saying. Look at verse 9 again. What we will be saying. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Drop down to verse 24. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. Now, glory to God. David says, O people of God, when things are the way they ought to be, we will be boldly telling the world that the Lord hath done great things for us. Two ways, David says, we need to tell it. First, we must tell it to everyone. Look at verse 9. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. I love it. We need to tell everybody we can, far and wide, that what God has done in our lives. Tell every person you possibly can about this great God we know and serve, because he wants them all to come to him. Amen? First, we must tell it to everyone. Second, we must tell it everywhere. Look at verse 24 again. We must tell it everywhere. Declare his glory among the heathen. It's easy to talk about God in church. It's easy to talk about the Lord with God's people. But he says, declare his glory amongst the heathen, his marvelous works amongst all nations. Now, beloved, here is a gospel invitation to all the world to come to the Lord Jesus, not just for the physical seed of Abraham, but for all people. That's because God is so good that he loves everybody from every nation, and he wants them all to come. My message today is when things are the way they ought to be. What about you? Are you seeking the things you're supposed to be seeking? Are you singing what you're supposed to be singing? Are you giving what you're supposed to be giving? Are you remembering what you're supposed to be remembering? Are you saying what you're supposed to be saying? Glory to God. An English newspaper recently asked its readers this question. Who are the, and they asked for responses from the public. Who are the happiest people on earth? Here are the four prize-winning answers. One, a craftsman or artist whistling over a job well done. Two, a little child building sandcastles in the sand. Three, a mother after a busy day bathing her baby. Four, a doctor who has performed a difficult and dangerous operation and saved a human life. But I disagree with all four of these responses. I say the happiest people on planet Earth are all those who can say that things are the way they ought to be between God and me. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father in heaven, how we thank you today that, Lord, your word so clearly instructs us in how things ought to be in our lives as your people. And Lord, today I want to pray with your people here, Lord, that anything in our lives that's not the way it should be, I want your Holy Spirit to reveal that to us, Lord, because we don't have much time. And Lord, we want to be found faithful. Lord, you said, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Lord, I don't know about anybody else, but I want you to find me faithful. I want you to find me where I'm supposed to be, doing what I'm supposed to do, saying what I'm supposed to say, singing what I'm supposed to say, remembering all that stuff, Lord. I want to be found faithful. And I can't do that, Lord. I can't do that without your strength that David said we must seek. Your grace, Lord, makes all the difference in our lives. And Lord, I love that verse in Philippians 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Oh yes, Lord, that mountain, it seems so high and so tall and so unclimbable. But Lord, I'm thankful that you are the God of the mountains as well as the valleys. And Lord, we can scale and overcome any obstacle in our lives through Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit within. Thank you, Father, today. Thank you for the message from 1 Chronicles 16. David finally realized that ark needed to be in Jerusalem where you ordained for it to be, for things to be right. And Lord, thank you for what we can take by your Holy Spirit and learn from this message today about our own lives and about having things in proper order. We just thank you, Lord, for all today. We love you. Lord, the singing was good this morning. Those songs were a blessing. Lord, your word is always tremendous. We just thank you, Holy Spirit, for your continual encouragement. Lord, you're strengthening and sanctifying and preparing us for your coming. Lord, thank you that these are the last days of the last days, and we want to be ready. And Lord, thank you that through you we can be. Lord, I'm so thankful that, Lord Jesus, you spoke about that abundant life in John chapter 10 that you came to give. Lord, I like how Dr. Ed Murphy, the spiritual warfare professor, he said that that abundant life is supposed to be the normal Christian life. Lord, the enemy tries to trip us up in that normal Christian life, which is an abundant, overflowing life of joy and peace and love in the Holy Ghost. Lord, we will not allow the enemy to rob us of all that you have for us. In the name of Jesus, we claim it as your children, Lord. We will walk in the Spirit. We will walk by your word. We will walk in your grace, Lord. Therein lies the victory. We thank you for it, Lord. We claim it in the name of Jesus today for our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people say, amen, amen. Glory to God. Love that sound.
Is it a psalm? We're in Chronicles. Oh, you mean when he wrote that song that they quoted?
Yeah, it's almost verbatim in Psalm 105 as 1 Chronicles 16. Wow. Amazing.
Your preaching really connects all the Old and New Testament and all the scripture verses. I'm seeing like a thread, you know.
Yeah, I know. Both Testaments, it's like so clear. It's so interwoven.